let this fail. You know, if God failed one time, He would cease to be God. God never fails. Everything God does, He does well. He knows the end from the beginning, so He knows what to do and how to do it. And the Bible says He was jealous, and He returned to Zion, and He says, and will dwell, in verse 3, in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, holy mountain. He said, it's not going to fail. The city of peace is going to be called a city of truth. The city of peace is going to be where I personally am going to dwell. He's talking about millennial truth. Look what he goes on to say. Thus says the Lord, there shall ye yet be old men and old women in the dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand of a very age. He's saying that what we saw in Isaiah 65 and 66 about those children that are going to be 100 years old. A child shall die at 100, and you know, an old man, you know, it'll be like a 900 years. That whole thing of living nearly 1,000 years of age is going to be restored during that millennial reign. And he's saying, in my city, those people are going to live for a very old age. And it's going to be full of kids, verse 5, playing in the street. Boys and girls playing in the streets. You know, we got kids playing in our streets, but it's been a long time since we've had kids playing in our street. In fact, I was so used to them not playing in the streets, I got kind of used to being real quiet around my house. It's not quiet anymore because my house is the place they want to play. My garage they want to hit. My ball gloves they want to get and go out and play ball with. So I have to show mercy and fashion, compassion and mercy and stuff. But they want to play in the streets. And it's a delight to hear that if we allow it to be. And he says, this is what's good stuff. This is the good stuff. There's a country song, something about that's the good stuff. And it's being able to go home to your wife at night and just enjoy the hugs and the sweetness of life being together. So the whole concept here is what he's saying. The good stuff is the children playing in the streets, the older men leaning on their staff and enjoying the frolicking going on in the streets. It's all good. And he says in verse 6, you say this is marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of his people. Should it be marvelous in my eyes? You know what he's saying? He's saying, you think it's a hard thing for me? You think it's marvelous? We don't use the word marvelous very often like it should be. It means to marvel at it. You think this is wonderful? You think this is too wonderful to get your mind around? It's nothing for me. This is believed by many to be the very centerpiece of this whole book. If you wanted to underline this verse, this is they believe. You think this anything I'm saying in this book is too wonderful? You think it's too great, too big? It's nothing to me. I can do anything. It's not too marvelous for me. He says, yet it is not too, shall it be marvelous in mine eyes, saith the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save the people. Verse 8, I will bring them. They shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. They shall be my people. I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. He says, I am going to make Jerusalem shine. You know, if you're not getting anything else out of our study of these minor prophets, I know what I'm getting. I'm getting God saying, Jerusalem's got a future. People who believe it, Israel's done, they got a whole lot of scripture to do away with. He says, I am going to be blessed in my people. I am going to make Jerusalem shine. I am going to reign in their midst. It's not the church taking their place and becoming spiritual Israel. It's Israel. It's Israel. And we see it today, don't we? We see it today. Israel, they just don't know what to do with her. And he's going to talk about that. Verse 9, he goes on to say, thus says the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong. Now he's talking in real time now. He's just talked about what's going to happen. He's talked about millennial time. He's going to talk now a little bit about now. He says, you guys strengthen yourselves. You're back in the land. 70 years are behind you. The 10 or 12 years of laying idols behind you. You've got the temple thing moving. Everything's good. Be strong. He says, strengthen yourselves. Be strong that ye may hear in verse 9. Be strong, ye that hear in these days these words. I love that because it reminds me of the words we're hearing in these days. In one day, we're going to be in a millennial on the other side with glorified bodies. And we're going to say, what was it like back then? Well, they had all kinds of gadgets. They got iPods and iPads and they got computers and they got TVs and they got cars. They had all that, you know. But I'm not missing them. I'm so pumped I can't wipe the smile off my face. Because God is going to make it so good. Everlasting joy, what? Be upon their heads. Isn't that neat? He's saying, you who hear these words in these days, he says, you be strong. He says, because these are the words of the prophets. He says, which were in the day of the foundation was laid of the house of the Lord of hosts, that the temple might be built. Every time the prophets talk about the house of the Lord, they don't call it the house of God. Chapter 7, verse 2 is where he said they came to the house of God. It's Bethel. Bethel was the seat of that calf worship before Assyria carried him away. So those people had all those vestiges. He says, no, it's the house of the Lord. It's the house of Jehovah. And he says, when that was being laid and those foundations were being laid, I was giving you a down payment. I was giving you a promise through those behaviors and those motions that I was going to make you guys shine one day. So you strengthen yourselves. Verse 10 says, for before these days there was no hire for man, there was no hire for beast. I set every man against his neighbor. Verse 10 at the end. Verse 11 says, but now I will not be under the residue of the people as in the former days, said the Lord, for the seed shall be prosperous, and the vine shall give her fruit. He says, I did it one time. I took away all my blessing and let you guys pine away. Sounds like America today. No job, no hire, no nothing, right? He says, I did that before. He says, I'm not going to do that anymore. What I'm going to do is I'm going to prosper you in verse 11. Verse 12, he says, everything's going to prosper. I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. I always find it fascinating when God talks about the things we're going to possess or his people will possess. And it's not cars and lands, is it? It's a good piece of ground. It's good fruit. And it's a good environment. It's going to be a good disposition because we're going to have everlasting joy. But he doesn't talk about stuff. He talks about enjoying the leaning on the staff and hearing the children play in the streets. We'll be chuckling as old men leaning on our staffs. We won't because we'll be glorified, but they will. And they'll be happy to do it because God will make it nice. It'll all just be nice. I just got to say, the way God frames it, we need to really look at that because there's stuff he's trying to communicate if we could just enjoy the simple things. In verse 12, he goes on to say, he's going to make them possess all these things. In verse 13, he says, and it shall come to pass that as they were cursed among the heathen, I'm going to make you a blessing. They're cursed today, aren't they? Everything about them. They were back then, and now nobody knows what to do with them. Right now, they're in the news for blowing up some ship that was coming into their spot, even though they told them, don't come any further. They came anyway. What were we to do? We told them to stop. Now the whole world's saying, yeah, foul! No, not foul. It's right. They did what they had to do. Verse 14, for thus says the Lord of hosts, as I thought to punish you, he says, now I will, and I did not repent from punishing you. He says, so again, I thought, verse 15, in these days to do well. And he says, and I'm not changing. Don't fear. He says, verse 16, these are the things that you shall do. And here's where I said he's going to bring it up again. These are the things you shall do. When? In the millennium. When he brings them all back. Remember the Bible says, come out of her, my people. Double, render unto her double what she gave to you. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. She has been wicked and she has made herself drunk with the wine of the wrath of her fornication. She has been completely and totally a mess. What we have here is a dynamic of the Lord saying in a very, very clear way that he is going to do well to them and he's going to bless them and he's going to bring them out. And when he brings them out, he's going to have them do this. What? Verse 16. Speak every man truth. Execute judgment. You need to exercise good judgment. He goes on to say, judgment of truth and peace in your gates. And none of you, let none of you imagine or devise evil in your hearts against your neighbor, because these are going to be people coming out of the tribulation and love no false oath. For all these things are things that I hate. God hates it when we devise a way to get vengeance. He says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. He doesn't want you to have that hook in your heart. And then he says in verse 19, let your eye fall down. He kind of turns because he gets the fourth thing. That was dealing with the return. But now we have a revolution. He says, I'm going to do some stuff for you. The word of the Lord, verse 18, came unto me saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the fast on the fourth, fifth, and seventh months. You know what they're going to be? They're going to be feasts. I'm going to revolutionize everything. You used to fast on those days because those were bad memories. He says, no, I'm going to turn them into feasting because they were all indicators that I didn't give up on you, that you were even able to fast. Do you ever wonder why God let you, you know, prosper and stand, maybe when you were a rascal 1 week or one day or something? You know, he lets you drink deeply of the despair and the discouragement that comes with misery of your condition down here. But he doesn't give up on you. And one day you're going to look back and you say, God was with me all the way. Remember the footprints in the sand thing? There's so much truth to that. He carried us and he carried them. He's going to make it to Judah a joy and gladness and cheerful feasts. Therefore, love the truth and peace in verse 19. Verse 20. It shall yet come to pass that there shall come people, the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another city and say, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. These are Gentiles. And I will go also. They're saying one to another, let us go, and I will go also. And they're saying this among themselves. He says, it will come to pass. Many people and strong nations, verse 22, shall come to seek the Lord of hosts and to pray before the Lord. Both times the word pray is mentioned. It means weakness. It doesn't mean prayer in the conventional sense. Let's go and just say, we're sorry. It has the idea of sorrow. And it's coming at the end of the tribulation, and it's coming at the cusp of the millennium. And they're going, and the way we know that it's that time is because it's going to go on to say in verse 23, and it shall come to pass in those days that 10 men shall take hold of all the languages, hold out of all the languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you. He's saying, I'm going to revolutionize everything. You used to be a curse, you used to be hated, and now you're sought out. And as you're going home, as I bring my remnant from the four quarters of the earth, he says, the people and the nations are going to say, can we go with you? Can we go with you? And we saw in Isaiah how the Gentiles are going to pick stones out of the ground in front of them, saying, no, don't let any stone be in their way. It's going to be so cool, guys, when everybody gets it. Just gets it. Gets it. Israel is God's people. They're his trophy of grace and mercy, and they're his token to the world that he will never give up on those that he starts a work in. And they're the people of God. And they had something they needed to show the world. And by the way, he doesn't reiterate show or fashion mercy and compassion. And the reason is because we're talking millennial now. Now they're going to be a kingdom of priests, and they're just going to teach and speak justice and judgment, because the world will be coming to them asking them questions. What does God say about this? What does God say about that? How do we read this? And if they don't know, what do? They'll take the greater issues and go to the king, because he's there, just like they would go to Moses with greater issues. But the people of God, the Israelites, get to be purveyors of truth. Jerusalem, a city of truth and a city of peace. So it's pretty cool what we have to look forward to. These are messages God is giving to his people as he winds down his Old Testament. We're coming down to the end of it. It's going to be 100 years later that Malachi begins to speak after Zechariah. And he'll have to end the whole book of the Old Testament with the word curse. One of the last verses deals with curse. So they still don't get it totally. But that doesn't mean God gives up even still, does he? 400 years of quiet, and then Jesus shows up, the Messiah. Right on time. So we have a great Savior who's got everything under control. So don't ever forget, he wants you to execute good judgment. Show mercy and compassion and revel in his future. Okay, amen. Good stuff.